This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, let's go out to the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline where we find our friend and yours, Stanley Cup champion Jay Caulfield, brought to us by Tom's Watch Bar. Jay, glad you could join us. It's getting to be that time of year here, uneasy times in the locker room. And my first question is, Ricard Raquel, do you think the Penguins – let me phrase the question.
Yeah,
this.
Hey,
let me phrase
hey boys,
it.
Boys, I can barely hear you.
Oh.
So you know, I can barely hear you.
Bob, why don't you say
hello,
hi
Jay.
To Jay?
Can you hear
there
me,
you
Jay?
Go. Bob, I got you. Yeah, I got you, Bob. I got you.
All right. Well, can you hear me, Jay?
Joe's faint.
I'm faint.
I think you said Ricard Raquel, but I did. I can't hear Joe, but I heard you, Bob.
Something's gone horribly wrong, Limits. Here? Are you sabotaging the show?
Joe, not at all. Speak from your diaphragm. Lower the voice. Let's go.
Jay, I'll yell as loud as I can. Let me phrase the question this way. What kind of return would it take for you to trade Raquel?
Well, listen, I just had a talk with Austin as well, and I'm going to give you a side, Jody. You're not going to agree with it all, but I agree that he's a piece that, you know, pushing the 30-goal mark. He's got a couple years left, 3 years left at $5 million a year. That number alone, if you're trying to build, I'm going to give you the argument why not to move him. So if you're trying to make this, you know, still building around Sidney Crosby and you're trying to make a push like that, why would you move a guy that is producing and performing the way he is with Brian Rust, and he's a $5 million number for three more years? That's the one argument on the side of, you know, you've been building picks, all that. I think certainly Ricard Raquel, with what we see in the market, is going to draw a number one, and you'd hope you can get a player, right? If that's what happens. But my opinion is, if you have one line that can be, you're still trying to build this, that's the word, around Crosby, and you're moving forward, why would you get rid of a guy that you're trying to get back? You got how many years with Crosby? That's the thing. Like, it's not like Sidney Crosby's 22 and you've got all this time to go. You're trying to build around Sidney Crosby, and if you have wingers with them right now, why would I blow that up? That's the argument on the other side. And the flip side is his value any higher? No, it's probably not. So you should be able to get something. When I've seen the other deals right now and what people are getting, what teams are getting, then he would be in line with the same thing, and the Penguins can make that move. But for me, you have a line with Crosby, and he's at a really good price. I don't know. But there's the two sides of it for me, Joe and Bob.
And I said that to Joe earlier, that, you know, the fact that he makes what he makes, and it's for multiple years, when you look at the cap going up, and when you look at how much money he will be worth, let's say if he was a free, I mean, it'd be up to $7 million or in that range probably. So I can understand that part of it. I do. But I also know that they seem to be jaywalking a fine line here, which is trying to hang on to certain things but then, you know, rebuild others. That's not easy. But I also know, as I told Joe earlier, that I've watched teams like Detroit. I've watched teams like Chicago now. You get the number one overall pick and still be light years away. And Bedard right now is one in that situation, I think, in Chicago. And Detroit hasn't been to the playoffs in how long? So it's a dangerous thing to do a total rebuild. Do you think they're kind of going halfway at this, just, you know, trying to pick and choose? And, again, if Ricard Raquel was at the end of a contract or with 1 year left, I think it would be an automatic move. 3 years at that price
does
change the equation.
I think it does, too. And if you're trying to – I mean, I think what's happened is the Washington Capitals have made this added It's brought added pressure in the teams that are in the same position. And the Capitals and the Penguins mirrored each other over all these years. And then now all of a sudden they get a reprieve by guys being injured and going on long-term IR. And that freed up cash. And then the outstanding job that their management team has done and put together, now they're winning. They're winning this year. That makes it, can other people duplicate that? Remember, they got the break, and I think we talked about this before, but they did get that big break with Backstrom and Oshie going on long-term IR. And that's a different scenario. But I think other teams are hoping they can do that, or fan base wants them to do that. I still think if you're going to lead and you're letting Sidney Crosby know, and it's all based on their discussions and what they feel, and what. But if you're doing that, and the number you just mentioned, Bob, what we just talked about, it's hard to do that. I also have heard through the grapevine that the next 2 years in the draft and a lot of things, you're not going to know guys at 16, you know, 18 years old, what they're going to be like. It's different than football a little bit. But, I mean, the draft's not, from what I've heard and when we were all together over the last couple of weeks with Mario's camp and guys around him and around the league, the draft might not be as strong as what people – what they've had in years past. So if you're stockpiling draft picks, you might not find when is this going to be built up? Is there somebody that can change a game right away? I don't know. But from what I heard from guys talking the other day, that might not be out there.
How about if there are players involved, not draft picks? You know, young players who already have been in the league.
They need that. That's what they have to have too, Bob. You're right. That has to be there. Somehow you have to be able to, they're happy, every day we hear they're happy with Wilkes-Barre, and there's guys down there. But even then, we see the step that it is from the NHL up. I think what you just mentioned, Bob, and Joe, we talked about this before. Guys that have proven their young talent, it's out there. Can you come in and make a difference? I think that has to be part of a changeover, a rollover. I'll mention again Capitals. Pierre-Luc Dubois. It hasn't worked anywhere he's gone, and all of a sudden he's found a home in Washington. What's out there? I'm sure they're searching for that kind of thing, Bob, to try and build this roster so it's not looking like the rebuild that a lot of people feel needs to happen and not. But I think the Sidney Crosby factor in this, it's the communication you've had with him. What is he? Is he a player that's going to stay around for a rebuild? That's when I go to the words and the mention will be mentioned in the beginning. You got Raquel and you got Rust. And it's a line that dominates games still today. They're dominating games when they're on the ice. If you're trying to build, why would you move a guy that's only $5 million a year with 3 years left? That's what you're trying to find. And it's time. And I'm giving the timeline over Crosby, what they think Sidney Crosby is going to do and the timing of those contracts. And again, but I also know Raquel's value is at its all-time high. So it's a double-edged sword a little bit.
Yeah, it is. And I do see both sides of it. I just, the other part of that is this the Ricard Raquel we're going to get like every year through his contract?
Yeah.
I don't know, because the years before he got here, he was struggling for about 3 years. Then he was really good when he got here. Then he struggled badly last year and was banged up, and he's getting older. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
I agree with that. And one thing about it is, as an athlete, injuries that can really derail guys. And he didn't talk a lot about it, but when you're going through injuries and you're not feeling the game, it's tough. But he battled back from that, and he's in a groove, a comfort zone with these guys. But you're right. You're right. That's out there too. And by the way, if I'm a GM on the other side, I'm going to go, okay, what about last year? I'm going to go, hey, he's playing with Sidney Crosby. I'm going to go down the line and throw everything at them too. Like, he's got 30 goals this year, but he's playing with Crosby and Rust.
Right.
They're going to use what you just said against any kind of deal. But it certainly seems like the market and what it's bringing, what these other deals have already produced, that somebody's going to pay a big number, whether it be a player, a really good, a number one, whatever it might be. But if I'm a GM on the other side, I'm going right back at them and going, okay, what about this, 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 and this? He's having a good year this year, but that's what they're going to do. It's like if you went into arbitration as a player. The last thing, I remember Craig Patrick saying, you never want to be in a meeting when it's arbitration. You don't want to be a player listening to what somebody's going to throw back at you. Let your agent handle it, right? Let them handle it. You don't want to be in there. Well, the same thing, I'm sure, between GMs. they're going to throw the same stuff at them. And Ricard Raquel is, you know, is that guy. But I still like, you know, there's both sides of it. There's great points on both sides. But the Penguins in this, you know, mirrored in this position right now, you know, I believe something needs to happen in a degree where the Pittsburgh, the Penguin fans, the base, know that they're trying to make moves for the better, and they need to see something.
What do you do, Jay, about the goalie situation now? Tristan Jarry's up here. I assume he's going to play at some point, although Nedeljkovic played well last night. He's been erratic at times. You got Blomqvist, who's not ready. You got guys in their system. But is it good enough at this point? You know, I looked at what Washington did with Logan Thompson, how they pried him away from Vegas, yeah. And they got a guy who was kind of blocked. And he yep. was somehow available, and they cashed in on only 2 third-round picks. What do they do at goalie, especially with you know Tristan Jarry, when we're talking about him?
Yeah, you know what? We looked at something last night, Bob, and I'll get right to your point in a second. You know, the Penguins are second in the league second worst in the league in goal differential. I think they're like minus 53. San Jose is in the 70s, minus 70-something. With that being said, though, the Penguins' goals for are higher than all these other teams that are at the bottom feeders, that kind of thing. The goaltending, and even with the defensive play in front of them, is the reason, one of the major reasons why they're in this position today, right? It just is. Now, early in the year, they were under siege. And I would defend, you know, the position that the goaltenders were in. Then in the second half of the year, the game was better, and then they just couldn't make the save when you needed it. They're in this position right now because of certainly the way the team is built, underperforming, the way they play defense, but they couldn't, you know, the goaltending never solidified itself. Now, I think the guy that you're talking about, Logan Thompson, now the one guy that just went to Chicago that night, that could have been a guy. There is
a guy.
That's
what I told Joe earlier.
Maybe,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of one you're talking about, Bob. I don't know what, look, they love Ned. They love what he does and what he means and how he can be a benefit to the younger guys coming up. We saw what happened with Blomqvist. It wasn't ready for prime time. And I'm not sure he was ready to be in the backup role, which is a different mindset all across the board. It's if you're not a guy that can handle being a backup role, you're going to have performances like we saw. I think they didn't want to get him beat up anymore because it was too much for him. But they've got the young Russian there. They've got Blomqvist and continue to develop. And they've got Ned and you see Jarry up. I think it's a huge thing that's going to have to be addressed. And if it's not in this deadline, then over the summer, certainly they're going to look at all these pieces. But yeah, Bob, the Logan Thompson thing, that was they found something there in Washington. It's certainly a big part of turning them around. I think that Spencer Knight would have been the same, is going to be that same kind of piece that ends up going to Chicago. So we'll see. I'm not sure what else is out there, Bob, and what you got to do, but you certainly needed, like Tristan Jarry to be the guy when he gets signed to the contract he did, and it just never materialized. And that's a move that certainly set the Pens back and puts them in this lackluster position right now.
Lastly, Jay, what was it like around trade deadline time in the locker room, on the planes and buses and all of that? I imagine it's sort of an unnerving time for people.
Yeah, it is. It is, Joe. You know, it's also one of those times of the year that, you know, keeps you kind of alive in a long season because everybody's talking about it, right? So it's, you know, you get through the holidays and you get January and February and it's long, and then you're coming up to the trade deadline. And it is. It's if you're a guy that's being mentioned, if you're a guy that's, I've said a lot of times it's not the guy that gets mentioned that gets moved, right? It's all the buzz around one player, and he's not the guy that goes. It's somebody else that you least expect. I find it to be we've seen a lot of deals go down over the years, and a lot of great friends and great teammates that have moved on, and it's a harsh time for that. I think as a player, a lot of times, and I remember talking to Ulf Samuelsson and guys, you know, old school players. A lot of times when a deal goes down, you're just happy it's not you. If you want to be where you're at, you might look at each other, and 3 o'clock goes by, and you're just said, hey, guys are going to move on, but I'm still here kind of thing. That sounds kind of selfish, but as far as the game is concerned and your individual game, you don't want to move. You want to be in Pittsburgh. You know, the everything that they do for you here when it's a winning way. It's going to change. It's going to get back to that. But guys don't want to move on. It's a tough spot to be in. Families are involved, kids. A big change of lifestyle for that player. But what happens is the player moves on. He's shipped out, and the wife and kids, they're the ones that have to pick up, have it even more difficult because they're packing everything up and moving on from there. So there's a lot that goes with it, Joe. And it's but it's the talk, and it's a lot. And I've said, and it's changed, though, over the years with the salary cap. If you go back in the day with Craig Patrick and guys were wheeling and dealing, there was a lot of things taking place and deals could be made. It's a lot different right now, but still, it's an uprooting situation and guys can be on edge. And again, sometimes I feel it's not always the one you hear about the most. It's the one that's kind of quiet, and all of a sudden some of those players moving on that you didn't think was going to happen. And I do remember one deal when I was in New York my first year with the Rangers. At 3 o'clock went by, and everybody was like, you know, all safe and happy. And 3:15, it took that long for the facts to get through. And it was a major deal that sent guys to LA, and Marcel Dion came back to the Rangers. But it was after 3 o'clock. Now that doesn't happen anymore. That's when he had the old, you know, landline and doing the facts.
Right.
And it took longer than the date. So again, much different today, but still a very, can be a very difficult situation for a lot of players, but everybody understands it, Joe, and they know it's part of the game. And when your team's underachieving and not where they want to be, I think most people are vulnerable.
Jay, we appreciate the time. Have a good week. I imagine you'll be back on the golf course.
Oh, he's always on the golf course. Don't let that fool
you. I know, guys.
He's honing his game every day.
We're trying, Bob. We're trying, Bob. Listen, you guys have a good week, too, as well.
All right. See you, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
See ya.